I spoke this morning with certain members in another church. They had very big and important week, and they were waiting for Sabbath. And there is a Sabbath, it's a day of rest. Not just physically, but emotionally, mentally. Sabbath is a day, I don't know how people are living without Sabbath, with Saturday. Since I became aware of myself, I was worshipping on Sabbath, and I was attending church, even when it was not easy. And I was seeing my friends around, the people going shopping, market day, and I couldn't imagine the people not observing Sabbath, you know. But this is life today, and it's good to be reminded that Sabbath is a special day, when we can not just resting, but focusing on Jesus, on the creation, and the Father God, what He has done for us. Would like to mention that last Sabbath we had a very, very nice and good Sabbath in Warrnambool. It was an anniversary Sabbath, 90th anniversary, and we were expecting a lot of guests, and many guests came. More than 130 adults. That was a good number, plus children. And with some of them, I have the opportunity to talk, to meet during the lunchtime. With some of them, I couldn't, unfortunately. But we were very well equipped with the food, plenty of food. And it was more than, more food than we thought. We had afternoon tea as well. We had a program after lunch until 5:36. There was a telling stories, certain members who came from America, from South Australia, who have been members of the church in the period of time, or if certain members passed away, their children came, and they shared the stories and how the church impacted them in their spiritual growth. That was good Sabbath. Some of you came, I think Peter and Lynette came afternoon, Sue and Chandra in the morning, and then Sue took part in our worship service in the It was beautiful seeing there, singing beautiful songs in our song service during the divine service. We had just one service starting 10 o'clock. We didn't have a Sabbath school because many people came from distance. And our president, Vine Stanley, took the mine message. And also we unveiled the plague. The mayor of the Warrnambool Council, Jacinta, the lady, young lady, she came and she had a few words, and she unveiled the plague of 90th anniversary. And that was good Sabbath, refreshing, and meeting some of the members who've been in the church and telling all the stories, how the church was built, how they start worshipping, and all the obstacles what they had, and how many also people were affected by the good news of the work of the church in those 90 years. Also this week, just to mention before we open the word later on, do we have Faith FM here in Hamilton? Radio? How many of you are listening to that radio? One, brave, good. Just one. Oh, some of you are. Yeah. Yes, most of you are out of the town. And yes. In Warrnambool we had as well, and in Colac. But we printed about 15,000 of those cards here. Says Warrnambool 88.0 FM Warrnambool, and we organized Chris, who is very much involved in that ministry. We organized to the junk mail delivering. We paid $250 or $230, 15,000 to be taken to the letterbox into the people, in order people to listen. You know, we know some people are listening who are outside of the church. We don't know how many yet. But the time, it's a sowing the seed, you know. We can't see a result, but sooner or later certain results are coming. I just received one information here. It says, late last year, a couple walked into Warrnambool as their church just in time for Sabbath school. They stayed for the worship service as well, and after shaking the pastor's hand at the door, asked him if he was willing to baptize them into the Adventist church. Not knowing the couple or what prompted the request, Warrnambool pastor asked the family if he could visit them throughout the week. Upon doing so, he discovered that they had been listening to to Faith FM in Druin for the last 8 months. Initially, they were challenged by the message on the Sabbath, but after 4 months of prayer and Bible study, they both decided to close their businesses on Sabbath and keep it special at home as a family. However, after another 4 months of prayer, Bible study and listening to the radio, they were convinced of the need to join the Adventist Church, hence their request. Berlin and Tamara have not only continued attending Word of God Church faithfully since then, but have also become involved with the mission of the church, even starting a prayer group in their home. The pastor has informed us that this precious family will be committing their lives to Jesus through baptism on the November 19. Praise God for His marvelous living. There is a many ways how the good news can be preached and spread around. One of the ways through the radio. For that reason, maybe you can find this method helpful in our area here in Hamilton, or maybe other method, whatever method and tool we have to use in order to preach the gospel and people to come to the knowledge, because we don't know for how long we are going to have that kind of opportunity. You know, one of the policy of the Green Party, I'm not political to talk, but is to be forbidden letterboxing, any material. If one of time comes when the Greens become majority, maybe they will forbid every literature, any material to be given to the letterboxing, you know. That will be very difficult for us to bring some information. Who knows what they have in mind maybe later on, you know. Freedom which we're enjoying is not going to last forever. We know that. We're supposed to know. For that reason, we have to use opportunities before become too late. Okay, this is just a little bit missionary encouragement, because it's good to be somehow informed the good news which is happening around. This morning I would like to share one topic which I have shared in a couple other churches in our district. You know that Danielle and myself and our children, we went to Europe. We had good family holiday. By the way, I would like to show some pictures after lunch if some of you are interested. If not, no problem. Tell me after the meeting if I'm willing. I prepare some pictures here, some slides from the trip. We went to certain places, and when we came back, because we visited some of the archaeological sites of the seven churches from Revelation, I thought maybe it's good to prepare certain material from that. When still it's fresh in my mind, you know, later on the other topics will come. But that is a prepare on the topic of Ephesus. And I used that in a few other churches. I thought maybe it will be good here. And because if next time come, will be that topic will be, or pictures or memories will somehow become behind. For that reason, I would like to talk about the Church of Ephesus. Let's have a short prayer before we open the Word of God. Lord, be with us special now, Lord, when we are going to open the holy pages of the Bible, when we are going to dwell on the words of the which were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Lord, when we are talking about the Ephesus, may your scripture talk to us, Lord, as well. And may we learn some lessons from their story in order to apply in our daily walk with you and to be ready for your coming. That's our desire, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you can open Revelation chapter 1, 9 to 11. Is it revelation of John or revelation of Jesus Christ? Yes. He used to say revelation of John, but we are wrong. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. That's how the Bible says. Yeah? And chapter 1, 9 to 11. Just to give you a little bit introduction. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God has given through the angel to John, and through John to the seven churches, and through the seven churches to us today. 9 to 11. I, John, he said, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Apostle John, as you know, was one of the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ. We assume that he was the youngest one, because according to the history, he lived the longest. And we had 5 books written by John. 3 epistles, the Revelation, and the Gospel of John. Very important author or writer in the Bible. According to church tradition or history, John was banished to Patmos during the reign of the Roman Emperor Domitian. We don't have this in the Bible. You can see there is a list of the most cruel emperors during the Roman period of time. And John was taken, they believe, from Ephesus. He was living there. He was taken from Ephesus and banished or punished to go to that deserted island, Patmos, to stay there or to die there. Patmos was totally different than used to be today. During that emperor, you know, there were so many others, very severe. There were, you know, the emperors were treated like God, to be worshipped. And there was many, we will talk about later, and when you study all the other churches, all 7 churches, you will see the persecution experience. But that was a time when John was taken from Ephesus. Tradition speaks that John took the mother of Jesus, Mary, with him to Ephesus. That Mary died there. Today you can see the Mary of Jesus church in the ruins. And that church was very important in John's time and after John's time. Many, especially when the church split between Eastern and Western, you know, the Byzantine church and the Western, Ephesus became one of the very important center there. Many laws or many, I could say, church policies were voted in Ephesus in that church. There is a big plaque there, and you can read all the history in that ruins. I haven't put today that picture, but that was a time when Paul was taken there to die. Later, he was released by Nerva and permitted to return to Ephesus. John didn't die there. I think John only died by natural death. All other died as a martyrs. You can see God has... That was a place. Ephesus is here. Patmos, you can see it's here. Patmos, it's not far from Ephesus. Those 7 churches in Asia Minor. Ephesus was the biggest, we will talk later on, one of the biggest centers there. Patmos, you can see, when we went to one of the islands in Greece, when I look at the map, I saw that we are not far from Patmos. And one day I said to my wife, leave the children, let's catch in the morning a ferry and go to Patmos. We went to Patmos. You can see Patmos Star here. You can see another boat, Apocalypse, here. You can see there, you are like in the middle of Revelation when you go there. Everything remind or smell on the Revelation, because people who are coming, we saw huge boats there, coming many Christians from all parts of the world, because, you know, Patmos is very, very known. I think not far from Malta. I don't know how Malta is far, but Paul knows more. You can see, that's an island, Patmos, today. You can see there is a nice buildings there, rocky, very rocky island. On the top there is a monastery. We went by bus there, but came by walk. It's not difficult. It was a very, very hot day. Okay? You can see from the monastery, from the top, you can see beautiful bay there. Patmos is a rocky and desolated island in Aegean Sea. The island is about 16 miles square, very close to the Turkey border. Turkey, and it belonged to Greece today. Okay? Patmos. You can see that's a Patmos today. This is from the top, from the monastery when we were on the top here. It's a nice cruise here. Many people are coming, enjoying. Very nice weather. You can see it's very, very desolate. Not much trees there. It's very hot, especially at the end of August or beginning of September we went there. Here, on that island, John has received vision from God, and he has written the message to the 7 churches in Asia Minor. This is one of the churches there, Orthodox small churches in Patmos. You can see that it's a monastery on the top. They're all built. We went there. There was not allowed to take a picture there. And John was sitting some of the rocks. And God has shown to him the history of this world. And he had some message to certain churches not far from Patmos. Because John was there, he knew the situation. He knew the temptation. He knew the challenges which those churches are facing in these days. He wrote certain messages to them, inspired by God. And also those messages came to our day, you know. He saw Jesus who was walking amongst the seven candlesticks. Every candlestick represents one of the church. Jesus was in the midst of the churches. He knows everything. We will read later on about that. The seven churches in Revelation, that was a place you can see the whole Europe. You see the Greece. Greece is here. That's Macedonia here. Turkey, the Bulgaria. You can see all these. That's Asia here. Very important part of the world. And in chapter 2 and 3, you got the messages to the rest of the churches. Okay, Christ's message to the seven churches first applied to the local churches in John's time, to Christian churches in all the time, to Christian individuals in all the time, to Christian history from John's day to Christ's second coming. From Christ to second coming, the covering the whole seven, all time. Every church has a, you know, it's a type or anti-type for the time after exactly the age of the church. It's that today, if you can see here, Patmos is here, Ephesus here. Today, Ephesus doesn't exist as a city. It's next to the Ephesus. It's a ruin. It's archaeological site. The city is called Seljuk. Seljuk. If you look on the map, you have to find Seljuk. But in many tourist maps, you can find Ephesus because everybody knows. You know, Ephesus is very great tourist attractions today. Okay, you can see this. Izmir, it's Smyrna. Today it's Izmir. Modern name is Izmir. It's Smyrna. And you can see Pergamos. It's Pergamum today. Those seven churches, some of them we visited, not all of them. We went, I'll show you this afternoon, almost to Denizli, to the springs of Laodicea. We visited Pamukkale. Nice, hot bath there, naturally. And that hot water was coming to Laodicea, which became warm, lukewarm. Not that. And that God used that illustration to show the state of the spirituality of that church, which have a parallel to our time today. You can see that's Samos. We stay here for 6 days. Was not far from Patmos. You can see, was about 2 hours on ferry. We went Patmos. Miletus, you know, Paul very often stayed here as well. That was the route which Paul was using very often. He made 4 missionary trips. The 4th one went and he never came back alive to Rome. But 3 of them up and down, all the Corinth, some of them here, to Miletus. He was traveling here. Samos, we stay here. And then we went to Patmos for a day, come late afternoon again here. And then from here we flew from Samos to Athens by plane. And we will show you after the lunch some Acropolis and Parthenon and all this Corinth and other stuff. Okay, and the biggest church was Ephesus Church, the strongest one, and was on the crossroad. You can see here, maybe all the other churches developed as from the work of the believers from Ephesus. And Paul stayed 3 full years in Ephesus. He spent so much energy and time there because it was very important. Ephesus, okay, let's go then further. Ephesus, this is a current location. The city of Ephesus was located about 60 miles from Patmos. Ephesus was the 4th biggest city in Roman time, after Rome, Alexandria, and Antioch, the 4th. Ephesus was the largest and principal city of the Roman province of Asia. By the time the gospel was preached here, it had a population of more than 250,000 people. For that time, 250,000 was huge. Very important town. City. It was a famous and important political, commercial, and pagan religious center. It was a center of Pannonian games. Located to the, you can see from some of the hills here, still that so many things are kept for the tourists to be seen. if you go to Corinth, if you go to many other places, you will find just maybe a few columns, not much. But here in Ephesus, you can see it's a beautiful sight, because it was a huge area. Huge area. And, you know, it was, if you read the book of Acts, when Paul is talking about, not Demas, what was the name? Man who was making all these small, Demetrius, you know, Demetrius and many other things. That's, you can see there's a theater here, not theater, stadium, which was seated some 25,000 persons. You can see that's agora, entrance, columns. That was, imagine that, the beauty, the riches, the gold, the silver, the everything was done there. People dressed at, they were very proud of their town there. In the city were two temples devoted to worship the emperor. Two temples to the emperor. Because the emperor was treated as a god. They have to worship. But the special one, you can see this is a remnant of theater here. The nice, if you take any tourist leaflets about Ephesus, this is on the front page always. This is Daniela and our daughter pushing here. The baby was difficult to go. It was very, very sunny and hot day. Visited some of the other arcades. You can see the images here. The temple of Domitian. There is a certain part there. He was worshipped there until the Christians came or the Muslims came and they demolished it. Some of the ruins as well. You can see there. Some of the streets still there. Romans are very good builders. Whenever you go, if you go to Jordan and you visit some of the spots, you will see the same. But Ephesus was the city of goddess of fertility called Artemis or Diana. Artemis is a Greek name. Diana is a Latin name for the same goddess of fertility. Book of Acts speaks about that. Because Paul came to that town to preach against. Oh, imagine preaching against, you know, against something which was the biggest prophet. For the traders. Because they worship so many gods. And now Paul says, now you have to get rid of all these statues, all the traits, and you have to believe just in one God, in one Jesus. And perfectly, it was not easy to talk and to preach. And you can see that was a goddess of fertility, symbolized with many breasts. They believed that her image came down from heaven. The magnificent temple devoted to her was pride of the citizens of Ephesus. That the temple of Artemis or Diana. It was the four times bigger than Parthenon in Athens. I'll show you afternoon the Parthenon of Athens, how big it is, huge, to the goddess of Athens. But this one was four times bigger. Four times bigger. That was really keen. That was one of the seven wonders of the world. You know, that was a symbol of identity they were proud of. Imagine something, somebody came to Australia and preached something which is to destroy the identity of Australia, which is draw so many tourists and so much riches, you know, money to the country, and now you, Apostle Paul, you're preaching against. Man, you have to have a gut to do this in those days, you know. He was a very brave man. And Paul was preaching against that. Did some of the dimensions. It was 425 long. You can see, imagine that temple there. they had a special tradition. When girls has reached an age when her care was no longer necessary, it was customary for them to dedicate their girdles to the goddess of Artemis. And in that time, church believed that Aquila and Priscilla and younger preacher Apollos, with help with Paul, established the church in Ephesus. And Paul worked there for 3 years. And later he wrote an epistle to the church in to the Ephesus as well. Paul was a very caring person. When he would preach, he established, he baptized people, he put elders, leaders there, he said, you have to look in my absence, the church, and he was very worried those members to be protected. Because whenever you go, some other teacher follow him. follow his footsteps. You know the story. When he came to Salon, to Thessaloniki, months later, teachers came and said, forget Paul, he preached wrong theory, you have to believe differently. He moved from Thessaloniki, he went to Corinth. After a few days, those teachers find him there, and they brought the same. They were following Paul whenever he go, and they wanted to destroy his work. For that reason, Paul was very, emotionally connected with the churches there, because he spent so much time. He knew how much time need from the pagan to become a Christian. He knew how difficult it is somebody who believe in those gods to be transformed, to accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah, and to accept the truth. And how difficult it is sometimes certain individuals to destroy everything what he built up and to bring them to that safe place to Jesus. For that reason, he was sometimes very tough, like we studied in the lesson. He called them even, you know, sometimes we are scared to read some of his statements, but he was very keen to protect the new churches there and the believers. Okay, that was a time when, you know, church was under threat, because the Christians who came from the pagan origin, they were forced to worship the emperor and the sculptures of the goddess or god. You know, and many of them died. They were put on to death because they didn't want to worship other gods than Jesus Christ. It was not easy time. And John was in that situation as well, when he didn't want. He was forbidden to continue to work as a minister in that church. He was taken to Patmos. And you can see to the story, he says, one of the bishops, one of the leaders of the church, I am the wheat of Christ, I'm going to be ground with the teeth of the wild beast, that I may be found pure bread. Ignatius before the death by lions. Many people, they don't want to break commandment of the Lord Jesus. They wanted to be even to die. And Polycarp, bishop of Smyrna, that was a little bit later, but swear I will release the reproach. 8 6 years I have served him, and he never once wronged me. How then shall I blaspheme my king who had saved me? He was burned at the stake at the instigation of the Jews. You can see many people pay high price for their faithfulness. What we know about the church in Ephesus? Okay, I gave you a little bit background. Maybe we'll stay a few minutes longer today, but would like a little bit to have a understanding a little bit further about that church. Okay, Book of Ephesus, Book of Acts, chapter 20. What we know about that church? 20, 28 to 32. Paul was visiting shortly the church of Ephesus, and before he depart, he called the elders and prayed with them and gave them the last, and warning as well, and message to them. He said, therefore, 28 to 32, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made the overseer, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst all those who are sanctified. You know, Paul was very serious. He said, I am leaving now. The Spirit told him that he will never come back to Ephesus. And he never came back. That was the last message, last farewell speech with the elders of that church. He spent 3 years there. He knew everybody. He knew how those people lived. He knew the strength and the weaknesses. He knew their faithfulness. He knew the temptation, everything. And now he said, I'm leaving that church in your hands. Man, that's a great... That's not easy task. Not easy task. Taking something from Paul. He said, be careful. And he warned them that will be after his departure. Unfortunately, He foresaw things, bad things will come. He said, savage wolves among you will come. The devil tried church to push church from outside through the persecution to discourage people to depart from their faith. Did the devil succeed from outside? No, he didn't. He tried through the fire outside. Devil was defeated. The church was stable and strong. But now, the devil is trying from different, using he has the same goal but different method, not from within. You expect the enemy to come from outside, but when come inside, that's a terrible situation. You don't know which way to turn. Who is the enemy? Who is your friend? And Paul says, within you, some of you, says, will start and will draw away, will take certain members away from the truth, which I taught you. That's one of the struggles Paul had with Galatians. In all churches, the same idea is present. Paul struggled to keep the unity because many people, they try to disunite the congregation with certain ideologies, doctrines, opinions, interpretations, whatever came. Most of them coming with the Bible. Nobody came just from out of blue, but they have a very, spiritual background to prove something that Paul was wrong and the message was wrong. And that was one of the warnings. If you go further in 1 Timothy, we got another things we know about Ephesus church. 1 Timothy 1, 3 to 7. Let's see what the problem Ephesus church had. Then we can go to the message in order better to understand. That was 1 Timothy. Chapter 1, 3 to 7. Paul is sending a letter to Timothy, to his young assistant. He said, as I urge you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes, rather than godly edification which is in faith. Now the purpose of this commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor the things which they affirm. You know, Paul says to Timothy, go to, sending you to Ephesus, and be careful, please help that church, because there is a certain trouble there. What was the trouble in that church? What troubled the believers? What trouble? Give heed to fables. What is the fable? Fable is Greek word mitoi. Myths or inventions. There was a certain people who brought some kind of ideas, imagination things, they're predicting things, and taking the Bible for the background to approve those fictional things, you know? And some people were so convincing that certain members started believing in those things and took so much time and energy just to clear the air of those things and instead to focus on the right things. You know, they will always try to put certain things in front of the church to not to be focused on its mission. To use the energy and time in debating about invasions or fables. The second one was the problem endless genealogies. There was a certain Jews who always were pushing on the agenda of the meetings because Jews are coming from 12 tribes. And everybody kept a list, I am from this tribe, you are not from David, you are not so holy because Jesus came from the David tribe, you know. They were measuring up their faithfulness and the status before God through the which tribe they're coming? From your tribe. There was an enemy of God's people or something like that. You know? And that was one of the reasons of the disunity in the church. And Timothy was there who was now have to clear the air. You know, we will say, Pastor, okay, that's nothing to do with us today. Yes, but if you take a parallel, when I grew up in the church. I was born in an Adventist family. My grandfather was ordained elder for years. He was the first in the eastern part of Macedonia. My father was ordained elder, I think, become a retired. I know the church. All the time, there was a certain issues to occupy the church, which was, and I'm looking at the back, I said, somebody have to be responsible for wasting, for putting those issues and wasting our time. One of the, when I grew up as a child, I find myself that the ladies were sitting on the left side and gentlemen on the right side. Hey, do you know how many hours we have to spend to come to conclusion that finally we can approve the husband and wife can sit together in the church, not to go separate? Who put that difference between husband and wife? And I find that first member who was baptized in Yugoslavia came from Nazarene church. Is Nazarene or Nazarene? Nazarene, you know that? They were very strictly. And he was a Nazarene, and he grew up in the Nazarene church, and he thought that's the way how God wants. And he established his church, and how the whole churches in Yugoslavia start dividing husbands, men one side, ladies in another side, until finally the logic prevailed. But after so much fighting, we can say, so much arguing, debating, fables, modern genealogy. Later, when I come, young fellow, discussion. Are we allowed to go to the beach for summer to have a bath or jump in the water? Or we as heaven, that is, no, it's forbidden. How many hours we spend discussing yes or no, yes, yes or no, yes or no, yes or no. When I'm looking now, I said, wasting of time. And if maybe we lost certain members because of that issue. Now we have to go and apologize to them. When I start my ministry, that was 33 years ago, we start for the first time in my region, recipe club. Vegetarian cooking. But we were not so smart like today to bring and to cook in front of the people. I took my camera and I went to the home like Paul and I recorded how he was making the bread. And I'm recording this. I'll go to, for example, Lynette and record how she's making soya milk. And I put in the video cassette. And then we will put in front of the people that come to listen and they see how they can prepare at home to cut the time shorter. Because many members were not in favor for that kind of, that was a new in that time. And I wanted to prove them that it's good to do. Even the elders opposed. Who is going to come? This is not our job. We have to take 300 message and go there. Not cooking, not soya, not beans, not cucumber. That's not the message we have. That was opinion of the leaders there. But I try, and what I've done? I wanted to convince there's nothing wrong. I took my TV, I was living in the church building and brought here, we didn't have a screen projector, we didn't have all this stuff. And I took and I put video there to prove them what we were doing. You know how Paul was doing this or how Lynette was doing this. When certain members saw TV in the church, I was almost stoned on the spot. The devil box here in the church, next to the pulpit, it can't be bigger blessing which I received. When I look at now, back 33 years, I said, and we have to spend so much energy and time, and I have to spend so many board meetings to convince even my right-hand elders that this is a tool in order people to see something about God or to see something about health reform. I'm just saying, it's easy to say, fables or genealogies, they are old-fashioned, that doesn't apply. But God, or in every time, there is other fables and other unimportant issues which sometimes are thrown in order to take our energy, our time, and to lose the focus of our mission. Can be doctrinal debates and discussion, which can bring, fortunately, divisions, polarize the church, instead to bring issues in order to edify and strengthen the church. And if you read Ephesians chapter 3, you will see how much time Paul spent talking and preaching about the unity of the church. Because all these unimportant, trivial issues are making, dividing people in certain groups. I am with you, you are against me. And small groups around, and it's dividing the unity and the mission with the church God has for the church in these special last days. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2 and read the message which God has given to that church. I'm giving you a little bit background of that church, Ephesus, because we very often we just read Revelation 2, 1 to 7, but without having that, what troubled that church, what issues were brought there. Because we are talking about what contributed that church of Ephesus to lost the first love. That's a title. Maybe it take longer, but I'll highlight. What took that? What contributed to that church to lose that first love? Because that is the topic of the sermon. 2:1-7. To the angel to the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. By this you have that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaites, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him whoever comes, I will give to it from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. This is the message to the church of Ephesus God has given to him. Okay. God says, I know your deeds. God knows everything. Before God wants to say, before whatever I say to you, you have to be aware, whatever you explain, whatever answer you give, I know everything. Before you open your eye, before you open your mouth, I know everything. God knows everything. In your heart, in your mind, in your home, in our church, everything. Ellen White says, Christ walks in the midst of His churches. He is present in every assembly of the church. He knows those whose hearts can fill with the holy oil that they may impart it to others. God knows everything. And we are so blessed that God knows our good intentions, good desires, our thoughts, our positive efforts, what we are doing. God knows. And God says, I know your hard work and your perseverance. Ephesus was a church that faced trials and struggles and hardships, and yet it endured. God has a very positive statement at the beginning for that church. They lived in very difficult time, but they were very, very, very strong in their faith. The Ephesians has tested the doctrine of certain men and their lives and found them to be false. They have a spiritual, I can say, experience or discernment to recognize some false or errors teachings which some people brought in from within, according to the Paul in First Timothy in Ephesians in a book of Acts. Sorry, the Ephesians that had mature Christian experience, which enabled them to distinguish true from false. That's a very positive statement. Further, 2:3 says, "You have preserved and have endured hardship for my name, and have not grown weary." They bear up under all kinds of pressure for the sake of Christ's name. And they didn't give up their faith in Jesus. That's wonderful. They didn't lose heart because of their climb to Jesus, and His climb on them. They didn't give up even under the fiery trials of persecution. Many were put to death. John was taken to Patmos. Many others, taken from the possession of their homes or assets. What a fine church, we will say. What a steadfast church. What an impact such a church would have on our culture like ours. When I read of this church and its good and commendable qualities, I long for our church to be like that. And further, God says, but you have this in your favor. Another characteristic, very positive. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. You know, there was a certain, the church was doctrinally sound as well. They hated the practice of Nicolaitans, the heretical group that advocates Christian compromise with the pagan practices. You know, in one hand, you had people who wanted to compromise certain values, Nicolaitans, and another group, Jews, Christians, who wanted to go to the other extreme. You know, there was a very difficult to stay balanced in that church. Both ways, certain people were taken away. And God says, I know, I can see that you have, you are smart enough to see the errors, but something on the way they lost. Because it was not easy living in that kind of church. When you have always two left and right, and you have to always keep the balance, it takes a lot of energy, a lot of time, consuming your strength and spiritual energy. And two foreheads, but yet I hold something against you. What was the problem? What God underlined as a weakness of the church? You have forsaken your first love. You are smart enough. You recognize the errors. You have dealt with those. But something went wrong with this energetic, patient, and doctrinally sound church. Long on the way, something happened. Something happened. They lost their first love. Maybe they could mean their first love for Christ and the gospel has been disappearing. In the Bible commentary, it says, perhaps the doctrinal controversies stirred up by the false teachers and given rise to factious spirit, and the number who remained in the church were no doubt affected in great degree by it. I understood that some people have to leave the church because they couldn't comprehend anymore living in that kind of environment. But those who decided to stay, they were affected in great degree. Any theological or doctrinal controversy there is a cost. Some people are paying. That church starts slowly to become cold, unattractive, unwelcoming church. Because the love, which was number one characteristic of that church, become cold. They lost. That you forsaken or you left your first love. That doesn't say you lost. You left. That means it's still there, but you moved away from that love. It's there. We'll see that God wants people to rekindle that love, that fire, again to be burned like was in the beginning. They were backsliding in love. The atheism, which was characteristic of that church, has gone, and the members were starting to lose touch with God and love for each other. Because of that, those controversies, they start seeing each other through different eyes. In that time, it was, you are from David tribe, these from other, you are from other, and start seeing somebody on the high spiritual level, some of the low level, and lost the direction. Further, Ellen White says in the MS or from the Bible, the love that constrained the Savior to die for us was not revealed in its fullness in their lives. And hence they were unable to bring honor to the name of the Redeemer. And as they lost their first love, they insisted in a knowledge of scientific theories originated by the Father of Lies. You know, when the love departs, all they become preoccupied with other things. Because always it's happening. People, you know, we can discuss about other issues. The religion in the church of Ephesus became legalistic and lawless. The vertical relationship with God normally defines the horizontal relationship with humanity. In dealing with heresy and disciplining those who were not doctrinally sound, Ephesians tended to be severe and critical. By doing that, the church was abandoning the loving characteristic of the gospel and become legalistic. Don't take me wrong. Sound doctrine, hard work, and church order are without doubt very important. But doctrine is not the life. Doctrine is only the skeleton, the flesh, the form. Through that form of the church, through its arteries and veins, into all the tissues, they must flow the love which is the life of God. For if the love is not the center of our lives, then our religion has no value. We cannot fake love. We cannot veneer ourselves with love. People will know when our love is sincere. Love is the law of the kingdom, the password, the vivifying power. Even Paul says in 1 Corinthians, if you don't have a love, even you speak the angels of heaven, there is not any benefit. Ephesians were doing all the right things, but in the process, they lost their intense, exclusive love for Christ, and they want, which they had in the past. The badge of Christianity is not an outward sign, not the wearing of a cross or a crown, but is that which reveals the union of man with God. The strongest argument in favor of the gospel is what? What is the strongest argument in favor of the gospel? Loving and lovable Christian. Keep, my dear brothers and sisters, discipline. All other important. But this is one of the badge of Christianity. Did that make difference? Jesus now gives 3 steps to recovery to the church. He's loving God. He said, remember your former condition. Stop and recall your love in the past. Realize your current position and compare to how you used to be. Think about when you come to the church. Everybody was like angel in the church. What is it true what I'm saying to you? No response. Many people who came to the church for the first time or were baptized, they said, I look at everyone like an angel. But they stay for a year or two, then start seeing our weaknesses. Oh, they are not so perfect how we thought that everybody is. That's reality, my brothers and sisters. I said it 1,000 times. God says, remember when you joined first, when you say yes to the Lord Jesus, what was most important to you? Stick to that. Stick to that. Forget other things. Focus. Repent. The second one. Change your direction. Repentance is changing of the direction. Stop doing the negative. Stop bringing tribal issues to the church which brings division in another things. Change your direction. Use your capacity and gifts which God has given to edify church, to uplift, to move to the second level, to bring the gospel to the many people. People are dying outside. I mentioned on Wednesday something, maybe Danielle will come next month, maybe she will mention more. She started studying with 3 young ladies in Warnerville. We met them by, they came to Jeff, Sherry Peters' presentation. She was last this Wednesday again. Wednesday, they are waiting her with open Bibles. You know, some of them never had Bibles in their hand. Some of them coming from Catholic background. They said, "We have no idea why to be Christian. They are struggling with ordinary issues, but they are eager to know, and they are so happy then when find something." She said, "I was reminded of my childhood, what the joy of salvation is when they find something." They are going, the lady, she says, "I'm going to take to my mom straight away." That's when the gospel, the love is burning in your heart. Is that gospel still burning again in your heart today? Are you willing to go to your neighbor, to knock on the door and say, "Neighbor, I love you, Jesus is coming, what I can do for you?" Repent, God says. And do the things you did at first. Do the positive. Repentance is not just turning from wrong, but also doing what is right, my dear brothers and sisters. We are finishing. How is your love toward God and His believers today? Ephesus doesn't exist anymore. If you go, it's just a ruin. Sad to see the ruins on that hot sunny afternoon day. But the memories are still there. It's written in the Bible for our sake today, Lord. We don't have a fear or temptation from outside. How many of you are faced from outside, you have a problem? You're going to your work, you can have your wage. My father has to pay every month penalty because I was not going on Sabbath public school because school was compulsory. For 8 years, he had extra bill. Instead to be taken to the prison, to the jail, he has to pay every month money penalty to the government because I'm his child and I'm not attending school, which is compulsory. That was a pressure from outside. That was a pressure. The father of my wife, Daniela, he was taken to the jail because he was so poor he couldn't afford money for not attending for Sabbath. That was a pressure. When I had to go on Monday to school with the children, everybody knew, even my teacher, there was, where have you been on Sabbath? And laughing. They said, I was on Sabbath in church. Come, come. And take me here. And laughing, and said, tell me what your God told you on Sabbath. You know, making jokes, kicking me during between the classes. And that was a pressure to keep your faith. And going Sabbath. I know one person has to work 3 shifts in a row every week in order to get free Sabbath. 3 shifts, imagine. It's a very physical work. It was temptation from outside. We don't have that time. You can go whenever. You can have a home school. Not even to go to school. School at home in your nice couch. You can have a school in your garden under your shadow. Wow. You know? But we are not tested in that way. But maybe we are tested in many other ways. Because the devil will never leave us as individuals or our church without putting some fire around us or inside of us. For that reason, God says, is your love towards me still strong? How is your love towards God and His believers today? Are you still in love with Jesus? Are you still in love with Jesus? Do you love Him? Are you in love with Him? Not just knowing who was He. Are you still in love? Because if you don't want to spend time with Jesus today, how are you going to spend eternity with Him? You'll be boring with Him if it's boring with Him today in our daily life. Does the flame of God's love is still burning in your heart? Or you maybe feel spiritually tired and worn out? I'm seeing some in certain situations that many Christians become spiritually tired and worn out. One member said to me, Pastor, why always divine service to be a sermon to preach? Why not just bring guitar and just sing? He says, I have heard so many sermons in my life. It's enough, he said. Just they become tired of listening to the word of God. They want a little bit more casual entertaining. I'm not again taking guitar and sing songs, but there is a place for everything, for singing and for the message as well. Worn out. Many Christians are like flat tire. You know flat tire? Or how another, it's like mineral water open too long. Have you tried? Better not. Many Christians are like that. They lost aroma of Christianity, the flavor, the beauty. We got a small garden at the back, a few roses there. But one roses who planted a long time ago, it's a nice aroma, you know, it's perfume. And I brought to my wife. She said, this is only one which it's like a perfume. All other you can smell, have nothing, no perfume. And many Christians are like, not many are keeping that still fresh aroma of love, of Christianity. God wants me and you to be like that. Have you been caught in formalism? Because another danger is to be caught up in formalism. Doing for the sake of doing. leading us nowhere, my dear brothers and sisters. Going to church for the sake of going to the church, no. We have to come again to Lord Jesus to ask for forgiveness. We have to repent and we have to declare our love once more to Him. Surrender all to Jesus and you can have the assurance of eternal life. Jesus says, if not, I will come and take my presence, withdraw my presence. But those who overcome, the message finished, they will be blessed. But it's up to us, my dear brothers and sisters. The history of Ephesus, what I find, taught me something. That, you know, that if I'm not always in connection with God, I can be caught in many other things which can consume my time and energy and lost the precious direction which God put before the church or before everyone. For that reason, I invite you to surrender your life to this morning to Jesus and make a new start with Him. Let's sing together song number 309. Let's express our... Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message you have given to us through the message the Church of Ephesus. Lord, according to the history and what is written in your scripture, that was a marvelous church. Church which you were proud of, Lord. Church who brought the gospel to many other neighboring church and many people were saved through their work. Lord, but also church and the history church, it's mentioned and written for us, for our time as well. Lord, help us to see what part of message we can apply in our daily life. We are all different, Lord. We love you, you know that. But sometimes, maybe we are relying on our experience or our logic or mind. Please lead us, Lord, and guide us with your Holy Spirit. Maybe we don't have so many struggles outside from this world. Maybe sometimes we will struggle from within us. Maybe our heart, maybe our thoughts, maybe our perceptions can lead us astray. May our focus be always on you, Lord Jesus. May our footsteps stay always on the solid ground on you, Lord Jesus. Then we will be saved of deception, and then we can be used by you in full sense to bring the good news of salvation to this world who is thirsty and hungry for your presence. Bless this lovely church in Hamilton, Lord. You know everything about us. The open book like Ephesians. I thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for you are still standing amongst us. Please be with us, Lord. Be merciful to us and forgive us our errors and make you recommit once more our lives to you this morning. May the holy fire rekindle that love in our hearts. Love can be seen, can be sincere, and can be seen from many other people as well. And to lead them to you, Lord, in order to be saved. Bless us and lead us. We put all this in Jesus' name. Amen.